This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And we're going to have a great show today. It's just me today. I booked a guest, a dog trainer, who I hope I can rebook in a couple of weeks because we've had some technical difficulties and I haven't been able to talk to her today. I was going to ask her how she trained, what method she uses. I was going to ask her about difficult dogs and different breeds and different things you would ask if you were to hire a dog trainer. If you hire a dog trainer, you want to know where they got trained themselves, how long they've been doing it. I would probably ask them, who influences them? Who do they admire in the dog training world? You know, is it somebody like Cesar Millan, or is it somebody with a softer touch? Who exactly? What have they read? And if they come up blank on those, that's a good indication I'd want to go somewhere else. I want someone who's read a lot about dogs and also worked a lot with dogs and considered how to train them. And then I might ask them about my breed. So say I had a bulldog, or I had a poodle, or I had a Minpin. I mean, it's going to be different depending on the dog you have. So I would want to say, have you ever worked with this kind of dog before? And I would hope that they'd give me some indication that they understand my breed. So for example, if I had a Sheltie and I was asking them, have you ever worked with Shelties? Do you know how to get them to come when called? If they didn't come up with a different sort of a line, if they just said the standard stuff, well, I use food lures, and I would know right away they'd never worked with Shelties. If they said, oh, yes, those are herding dogs, you have to walk away from them. Bingo, this person can train my dog. If I said, have you ever worked with golden retrievers before? Let's say I have one. And she says yes, or he says yes. I might say, what about goldens who are a little bit too needy or pushy? Have you ever taught a golden to stop begging? Have you ever taught a golden to stay out of the water? These are the types of things you might be looking for from a trainer. And if you have an aggressive dog, well, then you really need to know they've dealt with this type of dog before. And what equipment are they going to use? So if you've got a dog, maybe it's got two strikes. It's already done two things wrong. You can't afford one more mistake. Or maybe it's just embarrassing you with its bad habits. Sometimes it's friendly and sometimes it's not. You don't know why. And you want this dog to have a wonderful off-leash life. But yikes, what if you take it to the park and it causes a big scene, you know, or worse? What if it chases some dog and the dog runs out in front of a car? Or what if it terrorizes a child because the child's so distraught that your dog's attacking their dog? Or what if it injures that dog? So yeah, you got to really consider all this. And if you do have an aggressive dog, you want to know what equipment is the trainer going to use? Because if they suggest something you're not comfortable with, you're not going to use it. There's no point in wasting your money, right? You want to know, is it a change of harness? Is it something simple like that? Or are they going to use a pain device like a prong collar or a shock collar? If you got a barkaholic dog, are you going to be willing to put a lemon spray collar on its face so it gets sprayed with lemon every time it barks, or not? You got to think about these things. So we're going to go to break and come back and do a show that meanders around about dogs and cats. I'm going to give you some of the latest quirky news. And I'm also going to quote this comedian who I just think she's so funny. Her name's Deborah D. Giovanni. And she's a A-lister comedian. She's very, very funny. And I was watching her the other day and she just went into this whole thing about cats. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. She says, if your cat is boring, you are doing it wrong. And I totally agree with that. So we'll come back from a break and talk more cats and dogs on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And, what should I do first? Well, okay, so Deborah DiGiovanni in her comedy routine, she opens up this bit on cats by saying, "My cat's better than your cat." Now, I don't want to start anything, but it's true. And I think that's great. My dog's better than your dog. My cat's better than your cat. My dog's cuter than your dog. How can you pick, right? It's like the prettiest baby. It's impossible. They're all winners. But I think she's right. If your cat is boring, you are doing it wrong. She also talks, she does a whole bit on cats with hairballs and the bliss, the joy of waking up to the sound of a cat barfing in your bedroom. So if you can catch any of her act, I highly suggest it if you're a cat lover. Check out Deborah DiGiovanni. All right, so now we're going to go back to the news a little bit. I was trying to distract myself and I was watching this show, Emergencies, you know, ER Emergencies. And I was just watching it mindlessly as I was doing some bookkeeping, and all of a sudden they show this pug. And I'm thinking, oh no, why is there a pug in a hospital? Well, the pug, and there's a patient, a human patient, human patient's missing a finger. And the pug, they believe, somehow swallowed the finger. So, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? It was touch and go. They were going to kill the pug to get the finger. Now, the person involved makes his living playing piano. And yet he was not willing to kill the pug. He was insisting, no, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. In the end, they were able to get the finger out, and they were able, they had a vet help them and everything. The surgeon refused to operate on the animal, but they were able to use a endoscopic tool and grab the finger, and all was well. The pug was alive. The man got his finger back. The man plays piano. Everything worked out. But I was watching this show and I was just so touched by the fact that a man who might lose his livelihood just wouldn't budge on this. All the nurses and doctors are arguing with him and they're trying to convince him, just kill the dog, kill the dog. And he's like, no, no. And you know what? There was another way. There was another way. There's often another way. You just have to insist. So commendable in that case, with all that pain and all that adrenaline and shock, and he still stuck to his guns, and the dog and the man are happy to this day. So there you go. Something from TV. I was thinking about dog perms. If you gave a perm to an Afghan, it would look like a poodle. If you straightened a poodle's hair, it would look like an Afghan. And I'm thinking about all the different dogs and how much the coat influences us in how we treat them. If a dog has spots, if a dog has stripes, he's more likely to get adopted. If a dog is black, he's less likely to get adopted. And the same is true for black cats. Now, part of that is because today we adopt animals through social media a lot of the time, through pictures, not actually meeting them. And black animals do not photograph as easily as animals with spots and flecks and lighter coloring. You just don't see them. They kind of look, they can look scary or dark or unhappy, even though they're just as good as the others. In fact, if you're willing to adopt a black dog or a black cat, you're probably going to get a way better pet because there's way more to choose from, because everybody's looking for the one with blue eyes or brown freckles or cute spots. And they're walking right by those wonderful, well-behaved black animals. So black is beautiful when we're talking about pets. And I really want to encourage you to think about that, definitely, especially with all the stigma around black cats. You know, in Japan, black cats are good luck. But in many, many countries, if a black cat crosses your path, it's said to be bad luck. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But nonetheless, it makes people shy away from them. It makes them have a sort of brouhaha witch image that they really don't need and don't deserve. So if you're willing to take on a black cat, as long as you're willing to keep it in during Halloween when people do nasty things to them, you're going to get a way better pet. You're going to get so much choice at a shelter or anywhere really. So it's a great idea. Okay, so, oh, I had a question. All right. We're going to deal with a cat question, then we're going to go to break. There's a question about a needy cat with a K. And the person says this cat is pretty well adjusted and happy, uses the litter box, has no health problems. But, there's always a but, right? When it comes to Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, my show, when people write in, there's always a but. My dog's the best dog ever, but he pees everywhere. My cat's incredible, but it destroys the furniture. Okay, so this one, but my cat's terrific. He loves to sleep with me, and it's a he cat. It's a boy cat. I don't know much else about the cat, but in the middle of the night, needs. You know that making pancakes kind of thing that they do, making bread where their hands go up and down, up and down, up and down, and they sort of open their claws and close them. And what that is very similar to what a kitten does when it nurses. It pushes against either side of where it's nursing to make the milk come. So, you know, you've seen babies do this too, but cats really do this. The eight little kittens will all be nursing at the same time, and they'll all be looking like they're like they're paddling away, right? Like they're just kneading bread. Boop, 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 boop. Right, left, right, left, right, left with their front claws. And so she's saying in the middle of the night, this cat jumps on the bed and that's what it does. And she doesn't like it because it wakes her up. So what can she do to stop this? Now, this is really tricky. It's one of the hardest things to break. And actually, she's lucky it's not suckling at the same time, because there's a lot of cats who do that. And then they make the bed wet. And that's extra nice. But the easiest solution would be to keep the cat out of the bedroom at night, so you completely avoid that habituated behavior. And then at other times, bring the cat into the bed when you're awake enough to deal with it. Watch TV or whatever it is you want to do. Be on your phone, TikTok, whatever. But be in the bed as if you're going to sleep. The cat will come running. The cat will come and try and initiate the same behavior. But you'll be awake enough to interrupt it. So you can hold the cat's paws. You can block the cat from kneading. You can distract the cat by doing other things, petting it in a different way. If you do that a few times and it keeps going back to kneading, you can grab it by the scruff of the neck and gently place it off the bed so it lands on the floor. Now, I'm not saying throw it, but I am saying don't cuddle it. Don't, oh, sapusa, pusa, little kitty, 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 as you put it down to the ground. You're trying to show it, look, you do this, you're not on my bed. You do this, you're out of the room. You do this, I don't want you around. But at the same time, you're showing it, you do this, and you can cuddle with me all day in this bed, right? And you teach it something else. Now, some cats, they like to knead so much, you can actually give them almost like a sookie, the way a child has a favorite blanket or a favorite toy, a soother. You could give them a special blanket. I've found fleece works really well with cats, that's theirs. And they're allowed to knead it, and they're allowed to play with it. They're allowed to suck on it. You don't really care what they do with it because it's theirs. Make sure it's washable. Make sure you have more than one, and just keep it rotating. That's another way to deal with this. So the cat will be kneading its blanket, not your body, and probably not even wake you up. So that's one of the things you could try when you're awake, when you're spending time with the cat in the bed to teach it a new behavior. You could try teaching it to knead its own blanket, or even a small stuffed animal that's squishy and sort of similar to the feel of your arm or your leg or whatever it is your cat likes to knead on. Try that. Now, if you do a stuffed animal, you should probably sleep with it first so it smells like you. Because all of this is really your cat showing you that it thinks you're its mother and it wants to get close to you. So it's really not a bad thing. You might want to reconsider tolerating it. The dry kneading is a lot better than the wet kneading. Okay, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about dogs. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. purchase your cat treat tray today. Go right now to cattreattray.com. That's cattreattray.com. cattreattray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, and I'm so happy to be here. Recently, I got my latest statistics. Here we go, we need a drum roll for this. So, you all are part of a huge listening audience. Everybody listening to my show today, Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, wherever you're listening to it, Spotify, iTunes, wherever, all the places people listen, we now have tracked 97,000 people listening every week. And that's just to my show each week in trackable numbers. There's actually more people because there's downloaders and there's subscribers and there's network listeners. Pet Life Radio has over 7 million monthly listeners, and Pet Life Radio has a live stream of 250 million. And that was last fall. I haven't updated those statistics. There's also subscribers on iHeart. So we have a huge listening audience. Pet Life Radio is the number one pet station in the world now. And I'm so happy to be part of all that. And if you're interested in advertising with the show, please contact us, because I would love to talk about your product, love to interview you on a show, and we can play some ads, especially if it's a dog or a cat product that you're willing to send me a sample for, so I can try and review, because I really love to test the stuff I'm advertising. And it can be anything from a bounce dryer sheet that gets rid of pet hair, I have the pets to test it, to a vehicle that's designed for pets. I'm kind of in the market right now, and I've been looking at cars. And if you've got a vehicle that you think is really, really good, and I'm not talking about advertisers right now, although, yeah, you can contact me too. I'm talking about people who own pets. If you've got a vehicle that you think is the best for getting your dogs to the dog park, I have a Mazda SUV. It's sort of built like an Eclipse. And it's getting old. It's a 2005. It's seen many, many dog parks. And it's time for me to update. So I need a new, probably a used, but another vehicle. And I want one that dogs can get in and out of easily. Now, I don't want to be low to the ground like a minivan. So that's just letting you all know. But my car, the doors don't quite open enough. They have an angle. So my oldest dogs have to kind of be helped into the car or cajoled, or I have to use a ramp at the back. And it's just not that convenient as my dogs age. So, or when I have a pregnant dog, that can be a problem, or an injured dog. So I'm looking to get a vehicle that my fans tell me is the best for getting dogs in and out, going to parks, going to forests, going to beaches, getting it clean again, that kind of thing. Probably going to be taking between 4 and 8 dogs every time, because that's how I roll, people. That's what I like. I like my canine army around me when I go places, and I go places off the beaten track. So I want a vehicle that can handle it. So if you've got a vehicle that you think would be perfect, please let me know. Send me an email or send me a voice clip. Deb@PetLifeRadio.com. All right, everybody. So I'm going to post that alongside this show. If you want to give me feedback, if you want to give me suggestions, if you want to send me your queries or questions about dogs and cats, pet problems, behavior problems, guest suggestions, advertising queries, anything at all, my door's open. I'm so happy with our latest numbers. It's just making me really, really happy. So some of the cars I've been thinking about, I've heard, because I went online and I looked at the reviews for the most dog-friendly cars. And so they're saying the Honda CR-V SUV is one of them. They're saying the 2021 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited is one of them, because some of these have special dog features. They're saying the Kia 2021 Compact Hatchback is one of them. 2021 Land Rover Discovery SUV. Subaru Outback Wagon. Yeah, Subaru seems to be popular with dog owners. I do notice that at the dog park. And of course, there's a couple of Teslas. There's a Model Y compact crossover. There's a Volvo. There's a Chevy. Are they kidding me? Someone sent me an email telling me I should get a 2021 Corvette sports car. That can't be right. That just can't be right. And then they say the Explorer has a bench seat. Well, I've had some bad experience with the Explorer in the past, so I don't think I'd go that route. But I'd really like your suggestions because I am looking. And someone said the Bronco Sport SUV is the car. Now, I remember watching OJ in his Bronco way, way back when CNN was new and they were tracking him. And I remember thinking, gosh, I like that car. So maybe the Bronco Sport SUV is the one for me. I don't know. Let me know, you guys, because a lot of times the cars are advertised as dog friendly, but they're really not. And I want easy load in, load out. I want a little bit high off the ground so I'm not getting stuck places if it snows. And good mileage would be nice. So if you've got a car you love for taking your dog somewhere, let me know what it is. And if you're an advertiser that thinks you've got the car for the dog walking crowd, I have 97,000 dog walking listeners who would love to hear about it. Okay, so we're going to go to one more break and come back. Stay tuned, and I'm going to be talking about a sloth. Yeah, really, on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, and it's me, Deb Wolf, and I noticed in the news that in Peru, there was this policeman who stopped his car and very slowly got a sloth to safety. A sloth was in the middle of the highway, and he carried this thing all the way to safety. And I got to say, there's so many instances like that. Recently, out near Soup, there was a dog stranded and the Coast Guard came and saved it. And it's just so wonderful when the authorities step up and save animals. It's such a good feeling. And they have to go out of their way to do it. It's really not in their job description. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all the first responders who've ever responded to an animal emergency when it isn't really in your job description. Thank you. The karma will repay you, I'm sure. Okay, so we have some news in a place called Powell River. And I saw footage of it. If you want to look for it, you can probably find it online. If you type in Powell River Wolf Pack, it's absolutely frightening. People have their homes and, you know, they're whatever, their truck parked outside or their car or their little baby swing set or, you know, their yards, all their little barbecues and stuff. And they're normal house pet dogs who are around, you know, somebody has a Cocker Spaniel, someone else has a German Shepherd, whatever, random. The wolf pack in the area has been coming into town en masse and attacking and killing and taking these dogs away. And there's footage of it. And it's absolutely horrendous. Now, I was watching it and I watched it and I watched it and then I expanded the view and I watched it some more. And I thought, those don't look like wolves to me. So I went and researched it a little more, and it turns out they're not exactly wolves. The wolf population has made it with dogs there. So the wolves don't look like you think. If you saw a picture of one of them, you'd say, oh, that's a stray dog, or that's a mutt, or that's my neighbor's dog, even, you might think. They don't look like the classic wolf. Some of them are brown, for example. Some of them have spots. They don't look like wolves, but they are wolves. They've got wolf jaw power, wolf tooth power, wolf reflexes, and they can leap over those fences that keep your dogs in, right? They can, it's so easy. I had a wolf cross years and years ago, my pet, and one time I got a new car, actually it was the Explorer, and I had had a minivan before, and he was just sitting waiting for me to load him in, and I opened up the back, and you know how the Explorer back, it sort of opens up like a hatchback. And I said, get in. And he misjudged. It was a new car. He didn't recognize it. So he jumped onto the roof. Okay, now he was around 8 years old at the time. An eight-year-old regular dog would not be able to jump from a sit onto the roof of a car with no effort. And then he looked down at me like, oops, you know, I said, get down, get in the car. And he did. But it just shows you their abilities are so, in every way, they're faster, they're stealthier. They're able to get under, around, in, over everything quicker. They communicate with each other constantly. Where there's one, there's more. They will surround your dog. If your dog's in heat, they'll get her pregnant. If your dog is big and tough, they might kill it just so it's not competition. If it's a very successful communicator, it might join the pack and join those genetics and produce offspring that will one day torment you and your neighbors. So in any way, you do not want your dog with these wolves. Now, I've had people tell me, oh, my dog runs with the coyotes once in a while, or my dog runs with the wolf pack that comes through here in the summer. She's gone for 2 weeks every year and comes back again. And I think, are you nuts to let that happen? So even if your dog is all that successful, which most of them won't be, most of them will just be killed. But even if your dog is that successful with getting along with the wildlife, they have things in them. Parasites, worms, heartworm, everything that you don't want your dog to suffer from could be in that pack unchecked. So I really want you to keep your dogs away from the wolves. Be vigilant. If you're in Powell River, you really got to get a handle on this. Don't leave your dog outside at all, especially not at night. Be with them all the time. You need more than just lights that come on. These wolf-dog crosses are not afraid of humans the way I could see in the video. They're not the way normal wolves are. Normal wolves would have not come that close. There was a man chasing them, yelling at them, and they were still around looking for more dogs to take. It was so frightening. So be careful, everybody. If you're up near Powell River, really, really watch your dogs. Watch your little kids and keep your cats inside. All right, so that's a big message for the people of Powell River and the wolves out there. I know some places in the world don't have wolves at all. Some places have what, by Canadian standards, are very small wolves. Here, they're very, very large creatures, over 100 pounds. But these ones who've bred with dogs, they're a lot smaller. And in some places, in the east, like over by Maine and Nova Scotia and Canada, over in the East Coast, the wolves have bred with coyotes. Now, that's a combination you really don't want, because instead of, well, any combination is not good, but you get an extremely cunning animal that is very hard to track and very unpredictable. And it's kind of like the worst of both in terms of the humans who want to share our world with them. So the coyote's been here longer than any other canine. And I think the coyote will be here forever because it's superbly designed to live in and around us and almost be undetectable. And if it starts mating with wolves, it's going to get a little more strength, a little more hybrid vigor, and possibly a little more size, which we probably don't want. If you think you don't have coyotes and you live somewhere in North America, you're probably wrong. There probably are coyotes all around you. Some people call them coyotes. Some people call them coyotes. They're believed to only come out at night. Not true at all. I've seen them in the middle of the day. And when there's one, even more so than the wolf, when there's one coyote, there are many. And they look identical. So you may think you've just seen one, but you've probably seen a few. They pop up like puppets in the woods and you can't tell who's who. And they will use tricks to get your dog to follow them. They'll pretend to be friendly. They'll greet and meet and greet with all the social skills of a normal dog at a dog park. Take a little turn peeing on something, sniff a little bit, all that. And your dog will happily follow it off. And then the pack will kill your dog. That's the kind of thing that happens with coyotes. So be super careful. Keep all your food away. Keep your little pets away. Be vigilant, everybody, because I don't want to see my Animal Party Pet Life Radio audience get hurt. All right, everyone, it's been a bit of a whirlwind show all over the map. I'm planning on having a guest next week to talk about searching. So here's the thing about searching. We all know dogs find stuff, right? We know dogs, pigs find truffles, and dogs find lost people in avalanches and all kinds of things like that. But have you ever thought, okay, well, what if my dog or cat goes missing? How come I can't get a dog to find my missing cat? How come I can't hire a dog to find my missing dog? Well, now you can. But not only that, I found someone who does it just for the love of helping people. Someone who's trained their pet animal to find their pet dog. This is a white shepherd, beautiful dog called Halo. And this lady, Karen, has trained her dog. She's in training now. She describes herself as a beginner, but I would argue that. And the dog's been trained to find other animals by their scent. So if your cat goes missing, you take its favorite bed and you let Halo, the dog, sniff that bedding, sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff. And then you walk Halo to the last place your cat was, maybe the cat door, maybe the door it escaped out of, maybe the last place your neighbor saw it. And boom, Halo's nose goes to the ground and Halo finds your cat. So I had this experience recently with two golden retrievers and Halo found those goldens. And it didn't even, it took maybe an hour. And we had been looking all day, all day, all day, all day. Lots of people calling and social media postings and posters and all day. A gate blew open, two goldens got loose. They were not customers, thank God. Well, everything at Camp Good Dog is double, triple gated, so that wouldn't happen. But they got loose and I had to find them and Halo came to the rescue. So that's what we'll be talking about next week on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Until then, from me, Deb Wolf, and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.